So children, do you know what the future is? What is the future? Do you know? The future is what's going to happen that isn't here now. It's tomorrow. It's the next day. How long does the future go? How long? Forever. Yes, to eternity. Forever. The future goes on forever. And where will you be? Forever. What does the Lord promise you? What did the Lord promise the sons of Israel that were in exile? That they would return to the land of Canaan. And the land of Canaan was called the Promised Land. And what is the promised land that the Lord promises us? I think you know the answer. Where is it the Lord wants you to be forever? In heaven, right? The Lord wants you to be in heaven forever. That is the future and the hope that the Lord gives us. And it is amazing how often the Lord talks about the future. One of the teachings is that we shouldn't worry about the future, that we should have peace that the Lord is providing for the future. Because something wonderful, we're not in the future right now, are we? But who is? Only one man is in the future, right? Yes? The Lord himself is in the future, providing for us, always in front of us, always with us, today and tomorrow, thinking and providing for us where we will be. And we need to remember that. There are so many things in the Word that talk about the future. Sometimes when we hear the future, we think this is something we have to do. And it is true, it is something we should do. But think of this. For instance, we read in the book of Isaiah this wonderful teaching about the future. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be tired. They shall walk and not faint. Do you hear the word shall there? What does shall mean? Shall means that it's going to happen. And this is a promise. When you're young, you can do almost anything. You can run and not be worried. But as you get older and your body gets more and more tired, this becomes a promise. A promise for the future. Where you can mount up with wings as an eagle. Where are you mounting up to? Where are you going up to with those wings of an eagle? Those wonderful things the Lord teaches us. Yes? Heaven. We mount up. And when we're in heaven, we run and we're not tired. We walk and we're not faint. These are promises that the Lord gives us. But sometimes these promises come in phrases that we almost don't hear it as a promise. For instance, listen to these promises that the Lord gives us. You know these words very well. Thou shalt have no other gods before my face. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not answer false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Do you hear how he's saying, thou shalt? It means you will not do these things. But where is that going to be true forever? It's going to be true after you die in heaven. There are no murders in heaven. There's no adultery in heaven. There's no theft in heaven. In one way, these are the Lord commanding us. These are the Ten Commandments, aren't they? But notice how the Lord phrases these Ten Commandments. They're promises for those who obey these commandments that they won't do these things. And if we listen to the Lord's promises now, we can start fulfilling that promise and have that promise in our life. And what's interesting is that almost all of these commandments are true even for people who decide to go to hell. Because in hell, they don't have any other gods. In hell, they don't murder. They don't commit adultery. They don't steal. They're not allowed to. They still can covet. They can still want something that's not theirs. But in general, they too. These are promises for them. They won't take the name of the Lord in vain because they don't even know what it is anymore. So the Lord is promising us in these commandments what will happen. But here's even a more wonderful promise. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy forces. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In this world, we may find it hard to do that from time to time. But in heaven, everyone does. And so when the Lord was doing this, he was telling us what we should do, but he's also telling all the good people what they will do. He's giving them a promise and a hope. And what's interesting, these promises are all through the Word. They're even in the heavenly doctrine. What's the first thing written in the first book published in the heavenly doctrine? The Arcana Celestia. In every one of the 8 volumes in Latin and all the 12 volumes in English, we find this phrase in the very beginning. Some of you may know what this is. It's a beautiful promise. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things shall be added to you." All the things we read in the heavenly doctrine, if we seek the Lord, if we seek heaven, the kingdom of God, and the Lord's justice, to do what he says, from what is good, then all these heavenly things that are revealed to us in the heavenly doctrine will be added to us. And there's a whole lot more in the other world. We just get a little bit in the heavenly doctrine of those wonderful heavenly truths. And if we do what the Lord says, if we seek the land of heaven, the Lord's kingdom, the promised land, then all these things are added to us. And what's absolutely wonderful is that he can add some of them to us right now. As we read the heavenly doctrines about the life of angels, about marriage in heaven, about little children in heaven, about the providence of the Lord, all these heavenly secrets or arcana of heaven, arcana celestia, can be added to us, not just as we read them, but as we live them. And the promise is far greater when we go to the afterlife. So there we have a promise right to begin with in the heavenly doctrine. The Lord repeats his promise that he gave us after he told us to quit worrying about all these things. He says, don't worry about what you eat or what you drink or the clothes you put on. What you should worry about, and actually not even worry about, is do and go forward, is the kingdom of God. Because if you do this, then all those things are added to you. In heaven, the Lord gives them homes, he gives them clothes, he gives them food. He even gives them kitchen utensils, which they have when they need them. The Lord provides everything, and no one's upset. And they're all helping each other, not because they're going to be paid to do it, but because they love to do it. And in exchange, the Lord gives them everything they need. And so there's a promise. What's interesting, in the very last thing we have written in the heavenly doctrine, in the book Invitation to the New Church, where it tells us that we are to go and meet the Lord, we have this promise. It shall be shown that the greatest power is in correspondences, because in them is heaven and the world, or the spiritual and the natural together. And the heavenly doctrine shows us this wonderful promise. But it says, it shall be shown. It's a promise. And as we study the Word and as we look around us, as we see all the correspondences around us, we begin to see more and more the power of correspondences is shown. 2 examples it gives here is the power of the letter of the Word. As we learn the internal sense and all the wonderful things in the Word, in all of these stories, we see the Lord's power, just as we saw the Lord's power to bring them back from exile. And we can also see the Lord's power, it says, in the power of the Holy Supper, whereby taking the bread and the wine, the power of the Lord enters into us. Or the power of baptism, it mentions, the sacraments. Because in the sacraments, we have what is in the world together with what is in heaven. That is the power of correspondences. That's just one of the many promises that we find given to us in the heavenly doctrine. But there's a promise about the new church as well. And the promise is given many times. It talks about when there's a place prepared by God that they may nourish her there 1,260 days. Signifies the state of the church while it is being prepared. How long is 1,260 days? It's just about equal to 3.5 years. And 3.5 years is very similar to the 70 years they were meant to be waiting in exile. So in 3.5 years, the Lord brings this to us. 3.5 years spiritually. Sometimes he calls it a time times and half a time. And so we're meant to have the patience. But we also have the Lord's promise. For it tells us that it says, it is certain, this is from the Apocalypse Revealed, it is certain that the new church, which is the new Jerusalem, will exist because it is foretold in Revelation in the chapters 21 and 22. But it goes on to say, and it is also certain that the falsities of the former church are first to be removed, because they are what it treats of in Revelation as far as chapter 20. So we're given two promises, just like the Ten Commandments. If we do the first promises, not murdering, not killing, not committing adultery, not bearing false witness against our neighbor, then the second promise comes, that we will love the Lord with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and our neighbor as ourselves. In the same way, the promise of the Lord's new church will come when the falsities of the former church are removed. When the lies such as, all you have to do is believe and you're saved, when those are put aside, or the lies of the false prophets that were prophesying, tomorrow you're going to have freedom and go back to Canaan when they were in exile. When we put those false things to the side, the things that aren't true. For instance, we are told that all you need is a physical world, there's nothing more. That's a lie. When we put that aside, we begin to see all the heavenly things, all the promises that we have. And so it says that the Lord comes, and it also talks about, he says he will come as the bride, and says that he will come as the bride and also the wife. And it says that it says the bride when the church is being established, and the wife when the church is established. Here together, because it is certain they will be established. And then these wonderful words that we usually end our service with, behold, I come quickly. This signifies that the Lord will certainly come. By quickly is signified certainly. And by coming is signified that he will come, not in person, but in the word, in which he will appear to all who will be of his new church.